So if you have your Bibles with you and you'd like to turn to Matthew and chapter 3 this morning, or if you've got it on your phone or wherever you have your Bible, then please switch that on and take a look at it. Matthew chapter 3. We're going to be continuing to look through Matthew's Gospel during the first part of this year. If you were sort of with us during the Christmas season, you may have noticed that we were tracking through Matthew's account of the story of Christmas. Primarily, of course, we looked at the other accounts as well, but primarily we used the Matthew account of that. And last week, James carried on with the account of the Magi as well, and the gifts that were brought to Jesus, which only Matthew records, of course, in the story. And so from now until Easter, at least, we're going to be working through the Gospel of Matthew. And we're going to take a part of it every week. We can't do it all. We can't do it all justice. But we're going to take some key themes through the Gospel of Matthew as we move towards Easter and the death and resurrection story of Jesus as well. So this week we're going to look at Matthew chapter 3. And if you have your Bibles, then please follow along with this reading. We're going to just read the first 12 verses. So in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt round his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the river Jordan. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not think you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe has been laid to the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Amen. That's quite a leap from Christmas, isn't it? But of course, we are a few years on, of course, from the birth of Jesus now, and probably, say, around 30 years when this particular incident happened. Now, I'm guessing that all of you, you know how to prepare for Christmas, don't you? And we've just been through Christmas, and I guess you knew exactly what you would do. You had all the rituals and all the traditions in place. You had all the things that lined up that you normally have. And so you know how to prepare for Christmas. And for those of you that tried pickled walnuts for the first time, I hope that you enjoyed them this year. If not, then they'll be available in the shops next December again for you to enjoy. But, you know, there's those sorts of things that happen. We know how to get ready. We know when to get ready. And some of you are already getting ready for this Christmas, aren't you? I can tell that the presents are already being bought for that. But I was thinking, how do you prepare for a new year? How do you get ready for a new year? Because sometimes we just sort of stumble into the new year, don't we? So Christmas is gone and we breathe a big sigh of relief and then everything just gets back to whatever normal was, doesn't it? You know, you go back to work, you go back to school, you go back to the routines of looking after grandchildren, you go back to the routines maybe of hospital appointments that are all lining up as well. And you sort of get ready for all of that and you get back into that routine, but actually nothing much has changed perhaps. And I was beginning to think about, you know, what's the best way to get ready for a new year? You know, do we enter into this new year with sort of a new and fresh expectation as to what God is wanting to do in our lives and perhaps in the life of our families and in the life of our churches and our workplaces? What does God want to do and how does he want to use us to be part of what it is that he's calling us to as well? Yeah, there's always a feeling of new beginnings, but And I'm guessing for most of us, that sense of new beginning sort of peters out over the few days after the start of the new year. I mean, traditionally, of course, it's a time for resolution, isn't it? And I'm guessing some of you perhaps have already broken your resolutions, haven't you? You know, you started off well, but let's be honest, you know, already it's beginning to be a bit harder to keep them. Some things you know are already going to happen. Some of you, your diaries are pretty full already. You know exactly what is going to happen. But there are going to be surprises, aren't there? Every year will bring its surprises, as we've had the last couple of years, when we've almost got conditioned to a particular way of life. And maybe we're still sort of trudging along in that way now as well. But there are some things that happened last year that will happen this year that we couldn't possibly foresee. Things that change the direction of our lives, perhaps. Things that cause us to stop, to maybe feel shattered or concerned or wondering if we could carry on. Other things that caused us great joy and excitement, and we would love that to happen again this year. But we don't know. And so how do we prepare ourselves for that sort of journey that we're all beginning again into this new year? I mean, of course, it's just a change of date in the calendar, isn't it? But there is a sense that maybe there is something new. Maybe there is a time for us to make fresh resolve towards what God is calling us to as well. And so I think that's where John the Baptist can just give us a few hints as to maybe how we can prepare for this particular year. Because he came with the task of preparing. He came to prepare the way for the one who was coming. He came to prepare the way, to start the whole sequence of events that led to Jesus and his life and his death and his resurrection in the future. He was there to prepare people for what God was going to do next. This time of waiting had sort of come to a climax and an end, and John was there to say, come on, we've got to get ready now for what God is going to reveal to us. And God has something fresh to reveal into your life, into my life this year. God has something fresh because he's that sort of God, isn't he? Who leads us into the next stage of this exciting journey that we signed up for when we came to know him, when we sought his forgiveness, when we started this journey as a follower of his. So what can we do to get ready for 2022, for what God wants to do in our lives, to help other people to be ready for Jesus as well? Well, John's story is in all four Gospels, all four accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You know, he has prominence in all four of them. The manner of his birth was strange, wasn't it? He was born to Elizabeth and Zechariah, who Luke very helpfully says to us are both well on in years. And we're all well on another year, aren't we? Although some of you don't look any different from when you did a week ago. But, you know, it's another year ahead, isn't it? He had a strange dress sense. He had strange dietary habits. I mean, he was a guy who was unmissable in that particular community. He had a remarkable impact on people. People from Jerusalem, we read, people from all Judea, people from the whole region of the Jordan came because they wanted to see John. I mean, it was almost like he fulfilled the Great Commission of Jesus long before Jesus actually gave the Great Commission. People were coming to him from everywhere. He was unforgettable. And I'm sure once people had met him, they went away and couldn't stop thinking about him. He was a straight talker, wasn't he? He told the Pharisees and the Sadducees exactly what he thought of them. You brood of vipers. I mean, he was uncompromising in what he had to say to the people there because he was so convinced about God's message that he had to bring. But I think it's his attitude towards Jesus that really strikes me so powerfully. That he had this unshakable confidence that the one who was coming after him was the one that we should take notice of. That the one that God was bringing into this world was the culmination of all those promises and all those hopes and all those dreams. And if only you would look to Jesus, he was saying, then do you know what? Then this year your life is going to be transformed. So what can we learn? I got a few things I'd like to just share with you this morning about some of the things I think we can learn from John that might enable 2022 to be unmissable and unforgettable and uncompromising and unshakable in our own walk as a follower of Jesus as well. And you don't have to wear camel hair if you don't want to. It's fine. You don't have to eat locusts if you don't want to. That's fine as well. But maybe there's some things here that might just help you, help me, help us as the church to fulfill God's hopes and dreams for us this year. So I think the first thing I want to say about John, and something we could do as well, is that we speak with clarity. That in this year, we speak with clarity. John was so clear about his message, wasn't he? He didn't doubt what God wanted him to say, and he said it clearly and boldly. And you know, this was a time when John came into the world when the world needed clarity. In Luke chapter 3 and verses 1 to 2, this is Luke's account. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod, tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, tetrarch of Etruria and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, so very specific, during the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. At a particular point in history, the word of God came to John. Now, that list of names may seem fairly boring from an historical point of view, but if you just do some research on any one of those characters, you will see that this was a dark time in the world history as it was then. Each of those characters has not got a great track record of being nice to people. The world was a dark place. It wasn't fun to live at that particular time with those group of leaders. The world was dark, and God had been silent up to that point. The world is dark, and God is silent, but he's about to bring light and hope into the world through John and through what John had to say. John, speak with clarity. You know, maybe the world feels a bit dark at the moment. Maybe your world feels a bit dark at the moment. Maybe the lives of the people that you know, it feels a bit dark for them. But God has something to say to us and to them. He longs to speak into the darkness and that his light might shine. If you look in your Bible, if you're old-fashioned, you've got a sort of hard copy of it. In most Bibles, there's a blank page. There's my blank page. You've got a blank page in your Bible? That blank page is 400 years in time between the last bit of the Old Testament and the first bit of the New Testament. 400 years where we have nothing written. Maybe God was silent. Maybe God had nothing to say, or maybe people just weren't listening. But there's a gap here. And maybe this year, God has something to say through you and through me, through us, to speak his word with clarity and to help people understand what God wants to say for this particular time. Maybe a work colleague, maybe a neighbor, maybe a family member. That God is saying to you, it's time to speak, and this is what I want you to say. And like John, if we listen and we hear, then we can speak. John couldn't help but speak of what he'd heard, and he spoke it clearly. Just like the first followers of Jesus in Acts chapter 4, verse 20. Do you remember after Peter and John had been arrested and they were told not to speak about Jesus? They simply said to those who had arrested them, we can't help but talk about Jesus. We can't help but talk about what we've seen and heard. And there were people waiting to hear exactly what they had to say. So let's speak with clarity about who God is and who Jesus is. Because I reckon there's some places that need to hear that and some people
who are ready to hear what you have to say.
I think secondly about John is that he served with humility. John is called to get out of the way. It's very fascinating. He gets called to be the front person, and then he's called to get out of the way and point people to Jesus. That's why he came. He came to speak, but to speak about Jesus. Jesus would often criticize the religious people who had allowed their status and wealth and position to become their purpose. They thought that was the aim of their life. But John knew what his purpose was. He was there to get out of the way and point people to Jesus, to serve with humility. Now, in the best sports teams, and I don't want to tell you who the best sports teams are, of course, but there, every player knows their purpose. And when every player on the team does what their job is, does what they're called to do, then the whole team flourishes. In fact, teams have become better than the sum of their parts when everybody does their job. They know their purpose. The best followers of Jesus allow other people to flourish. John wanted Jesus to be the center of attention, not himself. And he always pointed away from himself to Jesus. He served with humility. And I think there's something for me, for us to think about in our lives as well. Are we pointing people to Jesus in the way that we speak and serve? Are others seeing Jesus through our lives? John deflects the questions that could have led him to lose sight of the reason that God had called him. And he just simply said, here's Jesus. Look at Jesus. Follow him. In John chapter 1, verse 20, John the Baptist is asked, are you the one we've been waiting for? And he simply said, I'm not. And you can follow in John chapter 1 many times, verse 26, verse 29, verse 32, verse 36, constantly deflecting attention away from himself to say, no, this is about Jesus. And we are called to play our part in the mission of God, to bring the kingdom of God in. And we do that by pointing people to Jesus, by helping them to see that he is the answer. We're called to bring the kingdom in our families, in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods, wherever it is we go. And we can only do that by pointing people to Jesus. There's someone greater here. There's someone who has died on a cross for you. There's someone who offers life in all its fullness to you. And I want my life to point others to him. Because when I do my task, John said, someone greater is coming, and he's the one who you follow. John said, I'm not worthy to even untie the straps on his sandals. But when he comes, when you see him, he's the one that you're to follow. He must become greater, John said, and I must become less in order for the mission, in order for the kingdom to be built. I wonder if we could serve in that way, serve with humility so that others see Jesus. But John also lived with authority as well. John was confident about who he was. He cried out, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. I've got this message inside me, and I've got a responsibility to and the authority to speak it. He wasn't sort of cowering in a corner. He knew what his job was. He lived with authority. John's words are fulfillment of Isaiah 40, verse 3. And people everywhere came to repent, to be baptized. That was his task. That's what he did. That's what he knew was his part in this whole journey. The call to repentance. He declared it clearly. This is the call, a call to repentance. This is the message that I'm bringing, John said, to you. It's not a call to feel bad about yourself. It's a call to think differently about God. That's what repentance means. To start to move towards him, to turn towards God. And that's the message John wanted to bring. That's still the message that God's people have to bring today. A call to repentance, to turn around, to turn away from, in order to move towards God's best for their lives. Then I think we can deal with guilt and moral failure and anxiety and loneliness and emptiness when we suddenly realize that the first step is to repent and to turn our faces towards God, because there's something bigger going on. The kingdom of God has come near. John knew that. It's the message we still have to bring. John calls religious people to repentance. Do you notice that? He calls religious people, people who have lost sight as to what the role is. People have lost sight of what the original call to follow was. So come and repent, John says. That's still the message. That's still the call. Because it's that that changes lives. John's call says, I want you to behave with integrity as well. Because repentance has to lead to change, change of action, change in our lives. In Luke chapter 3, John makes this very clear to the people there as part of his message. Luke 3, verse 10. The crowd say, well, what should we do then? It's all very well repenting, but what should we do? Repentance is the first step. What should we do? John said, anyone who has two shirts should share with the one who has none, and anyone who has food should do the same. And even the tax collectors came to be baptized. Teacher, they asked, what should we do? Don't collect any more than you are required to, he told them. Then some soldiers asked him, what should we do? And he replied, don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay. You see, there's something about a change in life that is so important that John is calling us to. To behave in a kingdom way, to behave in a way that reflects Jesus, to be a person of integrity, to be trustworthy, to be upright, to be free from dishonesty. I think those are the things that God is looking for his people, to be different in this world. I mean, John was different in many, many ways. Weird, we might say. We're not called to be weird, but we are called to be different. And this call of God, John is to say, you know what, let's act with integrity as we approach this new year as well. Integrity in personal relationships, integrity in our workplaces, so that others might, again, glimpse this kingdom that Jesus came to bring in, that John is pointing to. So maybe integrity is something to prepare for in this year. But I think also John was a man who called people to simplicity as well. John was a wild man and a wild mission with a wild message. But he came in those days to help us to see Jesus. God's time for us to be present in the world. God's time for us to speak God's word into the world. This story that God is with us, that he is here. It's still the story that we get to speak about, the story we get to live out. John chose not to fit in. He loved others so much, he wanted them. He was desperate for them not to miss Jesus. He urged them to get ready and let's see what God wants to do next. You know, at the beginning of last year in 2021, we shared a text for 2021. It was Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10. You may still have the card somewhere, or you may have scribbled on it or whatever, but I hope it's been a verse that, as we've highlighted it during the year, has helped you. And I believe at the beginning of this year, it's good for us to look back at that verse. Live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. I think it's still a relevant verse as we move into this year. I think it's a verse that John would say to us, live in a way that pleases the Lord. Live in a way that others will see clearly that you're a follower of Jesus, and that together we get to be the light into this world, into this year, so that people might come to know who Jesus is and discover the freedom that he brings as well. So let's get ready. Get ready for 2022. Let's see what God wants to do in us and through us. Let's fix our eyes on Jesus.
Let's help others to see him as well. And together, we'll be able to be part of bringing the kingdom in and seeing lives change, one life at a time, so that they too might come to experience who Jesus is and all he brings. Let's pray together. Father, this morning we thank you, humbly thank you, for your love for us. We thank you for the call upon our lives as well. We thank you for that day when we got up, when we turned around, when we understood what repentance was and we took that step. Thank you that your call is to something bigger and better. Thank you that your call is to some bigger purpose that we can be part of. Thank you that your call is to help others find Jesus. And I pray that for each of us this year that we will have the thrill of seeing people come to know Jesus. Father, today we come humbly before you, knowing again that we need you more than ever in our lives. We pray for a fresh infilling of your Spirit upon us, for without you, this isn't going to happen. That you might use us powerfully, you might help us, so that others will see you. Father, I pray blessing on each one of your followers here today, those at home, those in the room. As we go into tomorrow, this week, in the workplaces, with our families, with our neighbours, with all that we know is going to happen and ready for those things that we don't know are going to happen. That we might be people who live out what it means to follow you. And that in all things we give you honor and give you glory. Pray today for anyone who's here or watching online who doesn't know the experience of your love in their lives today. Those who are still seeking and searching. And I pray that your call today to get ready, your call today to repentance would come and embed itself in their lives today. The call to turn away from what is wrong and turn back towards you, Jesus. So I pray that today, that they would hear the call and make a response today. Thank you that we don't do this in our own strength, but only with you. And so I pray that you will indeed fill us again. That you will help us and empower us to be your people, to take this message into our world, I pray. In the name of Jesus, amen.